put our faith in Him, and we're thankful for that. Lord, I pray now tonight as we're gathered here together, and we're dry and warm, and we're thankful for that. We have a good place to meet, and we have our fellowship time, and we have our Christmas program next week, and we're praying that'll speak to hearts of people that'll be coming, and we just help all those involved in the play, Lord, to be used by you, and that you can work through them, and once again, to speak to people's hearts, and to speak to us, encourage us. Lord, and we ask you to be with us tonight, meet with us. I said this morning, we know you're here with us, and now we want to be aware of your presence, and speak through your word again to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The unchangeable Christ, the unchangeable Christ. Hebrews 13:8, I read, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, there was people. There's a saying, I don't know if we always say it right, but it says, you know, nothing's sure in life but change itself. Remember, my brother-in-law said that to me about something that, you know, was something, some traditional thing. He's like me. He's kind of a traditional guy. He likes everything to, you know, the things we do, and probably was related to hunting or something. But he said, yeah, nothing's sure in life but change itself. And you know, for most of the part, you know, that's a true thing. You know, Christmas time, I was thinking, I know Sherry's mom said that the other day that she was thinking about her mom quite a bit around Christmas. I always think of my parents. I mean, I think of them every day, but I particularly think about my parents and my life as when I was growing up around Christmas time. My mom really loved Christmas. I mean, man, dragging out the old Mitch Miller Sing Along with Mitch Christmas album. I still have it. I got all the albums that Dad had, you know, had the little words went to it on the back of the record cover, and you could sing along with it, and even had a TV show Sing Along with Mitch. But, you know, Andy Williams and, you know, you name it, the Christmas shows. Back in those days, they had variety shows, and they'd all have the Christmas specials on, and, man, we watched them, and, I told Sherry the other day, they had the scented candle things that you got now. You know, they got a gazillion scents and mix and match. Back then, they had vanilla. You know, Christmas, you had vanilla candles. That's what you got. You know, my mom would have them things burning all over the place. And they weren't even as good. They weren't as strong scented as the ones today are. But, you know, we smell them. And man, I mean, just thinking about that, and it's nostalgic. I told Sherry, I said, you know, one year I'd like to go back down there around this time of year, right before Christmas, ride through the old neighborhood where the lights are. But and I always thought about, I think about the old neighborhood when I, you know, grew up when I was a kid and ran around, and we all grew up there. You know, the guys I grew up with, everybody stayed in the neighborhood for the most part. And we've gone back, you know, we've been back there. We were down there in the summertime, and I still know people actually that live there. One of my friends bought the house, his mom and dad, he grew up in it, four brothers, and he just bought the house and the brothers when his parents died. He still lives there to this day. But, you know, I tell you one thing, it's still not the same. That the atmosphere, I mean, I can go down the same street and all, and the era of those years is gone. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. Now I go by the house and somebody else is living in, you know, I call it my house. Somebody else is living there, making their own memories. You know, it's just wouldn't, even though you go back and go through that, it's still, you know, not the same. And so because change, you know, takes place. Now we're here and we got grandkids and they're making their memories and those things. We think about the world that we live in today and all the things that change, you know, up and down the economy, technology, man alive. I had to go through, I was looking through Best Buy catalog and stuff. They got stuff out there that I've never even heard of. You know, I mean, I don't know how some of these, the stuff that you can do, the technology that goes, man, speakers you can put here and there, and your phone Bluetooth, and it's in the other part of the room. I mean, they got stuff going on. I'm just looking and thinking, man alive, how do you keep up with everything that they have out there, you know? And you look at that, technology styles, man, that people wear and different things, some of them good, some of them not so hot. Our health changes, you know, we're getting older, man. Larry, your neighbor there, was here this morning. Donna, we were talking about my back was killing me this morning, and somebody saying, well, what's wrong with it? And I was giving the reasons, you know, and she said, you know what it is? It's just old age. I said, yeah, well, that's the biggest reason. You know, you get older and your health starts to change. You know, friendships change a lot of times. Sometimes people disappoint us in life. We understand that loved ones and our friends pass away. And so that changes. And then people move sometimes to new places, leave old places behind. We know that happens in life. And so, you know, it seems like life is constantly in a change of things. I was watching, you know, we were watching about on the Weather Channel the other day, all those fires that were happening down in Gatlinburg and some of the places that burned up. And there was they had a lady that owned this restaurant on there, and Mountain Lodge is kind of a familiar place for some people. And she said, you know, they were asking her, well, what are y'all going to do? You know, what kind of tragedy? And the lady said, hey, she goes, you know, we got employees that their houses burned up. And so here in just a matter of minutes, people, they're homeless and jobless all at one time, kind of like Job. You know, I mean, just at one time, their houses burned up and the place that they worked at burned up. I mean, they said they were going to try to rebuild, but obviously they're not going to be paying you not to, you know, until it does get rebuilt. And so here these people's lives changed in just, you know, just like that. So we know those things can happen. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, you know, that's sometimes we like things to be, you know, you like that old familiar, you know, thing, person, whatever, that never changes. You like that, and we like that, and it's a great thing that Christ never changes. And he never fails. You know, we become weak, but he remains strong. That's good to know. Jesus told us, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So the world keeps getting worse and worse, but you know what? Jesus Christ hadn't changed. Jesus Christ hadn't changed. And that really makes us a more of a stark contrast. You know, that he is, it's a bigger contrast than maybe it used to be at some point in time. And you know, the closer we stay to Christ, the bigger that, the more contrast we're going to have for, you know, that from the world. We're going to look so different from the world. And so, you know, unchanging faithfulness of Jesus Christ. I mean, he's always faithful yesterday, today, forever. And I just want to look at those three aspects tonight of how he doesn't change. You know, the very first point, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. You know, I want you to think about this, and this is a careful thing to think about. You have to be a little bit careful about it because we're on the Christmas season is upon us. And we're going to be celebrating the birth of Christ. And I know I've preached over periods of time that you know that Jesus Christ people don't mind the baby Jesus too much. You know, they think about Jesus as a child in a manger. I know people are offended at the manger and that. There are people that are offended in that. But at the same time, that he's not too imposing as a baby Jesus. They don't mind that. And but we, you know what, even as Christians sometimes. Even as Christians, sometimes we think of Christ in the yesterday sense. You know, we think about the birth of Christ. We read the Bible and we see how Jesus responded, acted, talked in the New Testament era and we have it in our Bible. But you know, and to us, that's past tense. You know, we keep thinking of Jesus Christ in the past tense of yesterday, and so. You know, we don't always want to think about him in that sense when we think about yesterday. There's really no past tense with Jesus Christ. I mean, he's eternal. He's God. He's God in the flesh. He's present tense all the time. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And so, you know, that means that he has always been. He was pre-existent. I mean, always existed. He's eternal. No beginning and no end. I know that the Bible uses some words. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I know that it kind of would imply that there's a beginning and an end. But, you know, we have a finite mind and he's an infinite God. And there has to be some wording that we can wrap our heads around. And, you know, that he's... could say things that we'd never understand, and so it's, you know, it's written that way. But there's no beginning and no end as far as him being God. You know, when we think about the yesterday Christ, as I said, we think about his birth and we think about his life in and around Galilee, and you know, you think about some of the facts about him. He was born in another man's stable, buried in another man's tomb, lived in a land only about the quarter of the size of Illinois. Never traveled over 100 miles from home, wrote no books, led no armies, preached plain and simple truths, put to death, lived like a criminal outside the city walls. But that unchanging life is still preached today, and he stands as an unchanging evidence of who he is. When he asked Peter, he said, Peter, who do men say I am? And Peter said a few things about who people thought he might be. He said, but who do you say I am? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, he knew exactly who Jesus was. And that was there's a lot in that sentence there if you study that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, he knew that he was God. He knew that he was the unchanging, pre-existent, eternal one. You know, yesterday, his life did not end in the tomb. It only began. Yesterday, he only began to teach the truths that we still read about today. Yesterday, he resurrected. And the evidence of the resurrection is the church itself, the fact that the church still stands today. You know, after the crucifixion, the disciples went. Some of the disciples went fishing. We know about that. Talk about it during Easter time. Some of the disciples, went home. They were heading home, and some of them even went home. We talked maybe Emmaus Road disciples were trying to go home. There was other disciples that went home. But you know what happened a few days later after they found out the news about the resurrection and that Jesus was alive? Boy, you know, yesterday became today. You know, yesterday was over with, and it was for them at that time, it was today. And those same disciples, just a few days after the resurrection, were defying the world with the message of victory. They had the message of the crucifixion. And so, the resurrection is the only thing you can explain about that. So when we look at it from our point of view, we're here and now, and we read the Bible, and we're looking, it looks to us like, and as a Christian, you have to be careful because you always have a tendency to think all this stuff right here is past tense. I mean, parts of it are. But, you know, he's the living Christ. I mean, he's alive today. Nothing's changed. And that's what even what I think about what I was preaching about this morning. There's nothing that God did. I mean, the power of God hasn't changed. The character of God hasn't changed. Nothing about him has changed. I know we're living in the New Testament, but listen, as far as what God could do, what God wants to do, I don't know that he wants to do things in the miracle sense that way. Doesn't have to authenticate pastors, preachers, evangelists, witnesses, Christians, because we have the Word of God. But he still can work in a powerful way in our life. It's not just yesterday's stuff. The Holy Spirit, he's power. He's all powerful. I mean, it's God, the Holy Spirit. And so those things aren't just only for yesterday. Those disciples, I mean, when they started preaching it, the thing that changed with them was an inner dynamic. You know, they went from being fearful, afraid, worried, distraught, to being, confident and fearless and faithful. And they went out and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that was the real power that made a difference in their life, and it makes a difference in ours too if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. The second point is Jesus Christ the same today. John the Baptist in his lifetime, he'd been preaching. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." When he saw Jesus coming, he knew who he was. He was pretty confident he knew who he was. And the only reason I say that is because of something I'm going to tell you here in a minute, where his confidence might have been shaken just a little bit. But you know what? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world." Man, he preached, and them old Pharisees and Sadducees came out there, and he called them a generation of vipers. Man, I mean, he wasn't a coward. He was out in the wilderness, and he said, "What do you come out here to see? A reed shaking in the wind? Or, you want to find out something about God?" And so, man, I mean, he preached, and he was an outdoor guy, rough and tough. But he ended up getting locked up, and he was in prison. And he had this question. He said, he had a question for Jesus. And he told somebody, he said, "Ask him, is he the Christ, or thou art the Christ, or should we look for another?" Why do you think John the Baptist looked at it, had that question in his life? Well, I'll tell you, part of the reason is because things didn't go probably like he thought they should. He just felt, he was preaching the truth. He was preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, Jesus said about John the Baptist, he said, "Listen, there's no other, there's none greater. Born of a woman, there's none greater than John the Baptist." Boy, man, I get goosebumps just hearing that, thinking about that, that Jesus said it. You imagine if that's what Jesus Christ said about you? Born of a woman, there's none greater born of a woman than John the Baptist right there. I mean, this was a guy. And so I don't know what John the Baptist thought about that, about what Jesus said. But I know he was preaching the truth. He was doing God's work. But guess what? He got locked up. He got locked up in prison. And we know later he was beheaded because of his testimony for Christ. But he had that question. He said, you know, are you to Christ or do we look for another? Probably because he's thinking, you know, things aren't going like I thought they ought to go. How many times in life do we as Christians think, man, you know, I'm trusting God, I'm serving God, I'm tithing, I'm reading my Bible, man, I'm trying to grow, I'm praying, you know, and I want God to use me, do something with me, but things don't go like we think they ought to go. You know, and it makes us kind of doubt, maybe we wouldn't say it out loud, but maybe just, you know, down inside. But here's the thing about it. Jesus Christ was and still is, he's following the Father's schedule, not our schedule. You know, he's got his agenda and his schedule. And even in John's day, you know what the answer was? He said, listen, Jesus said, you know, this person went to Jesus and said, yeah, John wants to know, are you to Christ or is there another? You know what Jesus told him? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He says, you go back and tell him, the blind see. He said, the lame are walking. The lepers are cleansed. Man, I'm getting, Pastor Woodard used to say, getting a goosebump big enough for a hog to suck. Man, I mean, you think about it. He said, you go back and tell him, the blind see. He said, the lame are walking. The lepers being cleansed. He said, you know, go back and tell him that's what's going on right there. You know, the dead are being raised. The dead were being raised. Man, listen, nobody was causing the blind to see but God. Nobody was causing lepers to be cleansed but God. Nobody was raising the dead but God. And nobody was causing those old cripples that have been crippled all their life to walk but God. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I'm God. He said, don't worry. He said, I'm God. It's on track. That's all John needed to hear. I don't think he ever doubted again, even though he was put to death. He was beheaded for the cause of Christ. I don't think he ever doubted again. He said, man, he said, listen, that's it. You tell him. It's still going on. It's still happening today. Listen, eyes that are blinded by the God of this world are still being opened. Those crippled by sin being made to walk are being made to walk in the newness of life. Those that are dead spiritually are being made alive. But when you look at Jesus Christ, it's the same today in a sense as it was in that day there. Jesus Christ is an offense to Israel. The cross is an offense to this world. Jesus is an offense, listen to me, to the superficial, and I'll say Christian in parentheses or quotation marks, because there's no superficial real Christians. That's the fakes, the false Christians right there. He's an offense. Listen, if you're offended by Jesus Christ, you're not saved. I mean, that's just simple as that right there. I'm not saying you might not have questions. You might not understand everything. You might have doubts, but if you're offended by him. But I tell you what, it is a sad thing when Jesus Christ gets in a way to be an offense to a true believer when we doubt because he's not following our schedule, but he's following his. He's the same yesterday and he's the same today. Man, I mean, you know, that's a great thing, especially, like I say, when I read the things of what he did. When I read the things of what he can do, when I look at those, like we were talking about Elijah and Elisha this morning, when you think about how God used those guys, man, just plain, like I say, we don't know nothing about Elisha. I think the reason is because that's the way God wanted it. I mean, God just wanted, you know what? He was just a regular guy. He was just a regular guy that we never heard of. He wasn't some famous person already. And Jesus said, hey, look, I'm going to take you and do something. No, he was just a regular guy. Some little land from some place we never heard of before. I'm going to use that guy. Listen, God can still use us in the same mighty way, man. That's who God uses, the weak things of the world. The weak things of the world. I was reading an illustration. Maybe it was in the devotional book that I send out the things. Some of them are kind of long, hard to do, that Terry sends out for me. But it was Hudson Taylor, I think, missionary to China. And somebody said to him, and they said, you know, they said, boy, you must be something. I mean, he had started like thousands of missions, or I don't know, a thousand, but many, many, many missions in China. And thousands of people were saved through these missions. And they said, boy, you know, the way God used you is really something. You must really, you know, think a lot of how God used you to do these things. I forget the exact wording. And he said, no. He said, I don't look at it that way. He said, I think God was looking for the weakest vessel he could find, a weak vessel that he could use so that when it was all said and done, everybody would know that he's the one that did it and he found me. So I think, you know, you think about that, how God can use people and how God does use people. He's the same yesterday and he's the same today. You know what? God's still doing mighty works. And if he's not doing those mighty works in your life and in your church and in your community, it's because of your unbelief. That's the only reason. It's because of unbelief. Remember the apostles. They were trying to cast a demon out of a demon-possessed boy. And they couldn't get it done. And Jesus came down from the mountain and he said, you know, what's going on? Inquired what's going on. And said, man, this guy's man's son is demon-possessed, and your disciples there, they couldn't cast him out. Jesus said, let me see him. Cast that demon out. Later on, the disciples said, hey, Jesus said, how come we couldn't cast that guy out? Cast that demon out. He said, this kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting. Which tells us something, that they weren't fasting and they weren't praying. But when you think about it, why don't you pray? Why don't people pray? People don't pray because they don't believe. If you really believed that God answered prayer, wouldn't you be praying about all the situations in life that we ought to be praying about? All the problems and all the things and all the work that God has for us to do, shouldn't we be praying about that? I mean, if we really believe, we would pray. Listen, if he's the same yesterday and he's the same today, and I think he's still doing mighty works and still can do mighty works, if he's not doing them in our life and in our church and in our area, what is the problem? Jesus is the same. He hadn't changed all of a sudden. He hadn't got weak. I think there's a verse in the Old Testament that God's arms aren't shortened, that he cannot save. His arms hadn't got any shorter. Huh? He's not getting tired. He's not running out of space in heaven. He's running out there like, well, I just got to like get a select few now because, you know, I'm running out. I got some few places left. Real estate's getting high up there, you know. No, it's not a problem. I mean, he's still doing it. If he's not doing it, we got to be the problem. We got to be the problem. I told you I like Vance Havner. He made this statement here. He said, for those who don't know him, talking about Jesus, no mere argument is enough. For those who do know him, no argument is necessary. That's a fact right there. Hey, if you don't know him, you don't want to know him, listen, we'll never argue somebody into heaven. We'll never argue somebody into getting saved. And if you do know him, listen, I don't need an argument for him. I just know. But here's the thing, it is possible to know him historically. It's possible to know him theologically. It's possible to know him experientially and yet not see him as he is. Remember those Emmaus Road disciples? They knew him. They were disciples. The Emmaus Road disciples had two disciples were walking down the road. They knew him. They'd follow. But, you know, for some reason, they didn't recognize him. I was having a discussion with Kyle and, you know, part of the family there yesterday. We were talking about, you know, sometimes people, they hear, but they don't listen. You ever? Yeah, you kids are like that, right? Spouses sometimes. They hear you. They hear the noise, but they don't listen to what you're saying. Church members are like that. Church members are like that a lot, I'll say, from this point up here. They hear, but they don't listen, you know, to really what you're saying. And so they really didn't recognize him until Jesus opened up their eyes. See, so, you know, maybe everybody here is saved. I hope and pray you are. But how well do you know him? You know, maybe our eyes still need to be opened up, like, you know, those Emmaus Road disciples. Remember Elisha, another one of my great place in the Bible I love to preach from. Remember Elisha when they were surrounded at Dothan by the enemy? And the servant said, Master, how well are we going to do here? This is not looking good. And Elisha says, hey, don't worry about it. There's more that's with us than's with them. And the servant didn't see it. And Elisha prayed, said, Lord, open up his eyes, let him see. And the Lord opened up his eyes, and he looked around about, chariots of fire all the way around about him. Man, the enemy couldn't even get to him. The enemy saw him. And you know, I think a lot of times the enemy sees things that even God's people don't see. Huh? Because we didn't pray to get or have our eyes opened up. Let us see. See, we can know him we can know him more. What happened to the Emmaus Road disciples? They knew him more. As God opened up their eyes, they suddenly realized who he was. And so, you know, he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. We need to have our eyes open and see that he's the same yesterday and he's the same today. And then last, of course, but not least, Jesus Christ the same forever. You know, what's great is the best is yet to come. You know, we've got a promise that he would be with us for eternity. Man, that's a great promise. When you think about no matter what you go through in life, that Jesus Christ is with you. I mean, I think we all lose sight of that. You know, when we get discouraged, wouldn't we have to say that we've lost sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is with us? I mean, with us forever. Don't you know when discouragement comes, everybody gets discouraged. We have to lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ is with us for eternity. And we got a promise that he's going to return. Well, he's going to return regardless, but he's going to return for us, those that know him. That's a great thing to know. He got a promise that he's going to put all things under his feet. Death, disease, the devil. Man, we're on the winning side. It may not look like it right now at times in the world, but we're on the winning side. He's going to put all that under his feet. Man, that's great. He's the same forever. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The same yesterday because of who he was yesterday, the Son of God dying for the sins of the world. He meets the problems of our yesterdays. And our problem was a guilt before a holy God. He's the same today because of who he is today. He's our Lord and our advocate. You know what an advocate is like? This probably isn't. He's like a lawyer. An advocate pleads your case for you because you don't know how to do it. So you go to, some people try, but it usually doesn't pan out too good. You get a lawyer to go to stand there before the judge because they know all the ins and outs of the court proceedings and they know how to address, and there's a lot of foreign words they use that we don't understand anyway. And they plead your case before the judge for you. That's what Jesus Christ does for us. Because see, the accuser, remember how old Satan was walking around there up there with Job and God and the Lord and God. I love that story too, because God says, he looks at Satan. Now, God doesn't really have to converse with Satan. You just slap him upside his head, send him back where he came from, right? But Satan comes up there, and God says to him, "Has thou considered my servant Job? He's upright, escheweth evil." Man, have you ever thought about that guy? Old Satan said, "Yeah, I thought about him." He said, "But you know what? I know why he does it." You know, of course, we know the story. You know how. But the fact that God just said was kind of, I don't know that he has pride in the sense we think about it, but that God kind of bragged on Job there a little bit in front of Satan. "Has you considered my servant right there?" He said, "Yeah, I've thought about him just a little bit." See, Jesus Christ is our advocate. Satan comes up there. I think Satan goes before God sometimes and says, "Yeah, have you considered your servant, you know, fill in the blank with your name? have you considered that one? I mean, forget about Job. What about this one here? Let me tell you what he's done. And let me tell you what he's been thinking. And let me tell you what's going on in their life." Not godly, by the way. And then Jesus Christ says, "Yeah, but you know what? I paid for all them sins." He said, "I look down there and I just see the blood. That's all I need to see. I paid for them. I took care of them. There's our advocate." And there's no answer. The blood, the blood, the blood. See, because he's not saying we're not guilty in the sense. We were guilty, but the penalty was paid. We're not guilty. We were, but the penalty was paid. Doesn't matter. The fine's taken care of. The wages have been paid. So he's our advocate. He's there every day. He meets the problem of our todays, directs our lives, and pleads our cases before the Father. Directs our lives. That's a great thing right there. He's the same forever because he meets the problems of our tomorrows. He assures us of eternal life and a home with him. Man, listen, the problems of your tomorrows, I shared this story with you before, but I'll bring it up again, good illustration. When I was real little, I don't know, I was about 5 or 6 years old, I got to thinking about dying for some reason. I remember it. Turned my face like old Hezekiah to the wall. I was laying on my bed, had a plaster wall. I was jammed right up there against that thing. I'm in there bawling. You know, my mom can hear me. She comes in there and she goes, what are we crying about? "I don't want to die." You know, like, see, what in the world are you thinking about that for? No guarantee in life, by the way, just because you're 5, 6 years old don't mean you're going to live a long time. But I said, I don't know. You know, it was a real deal, man. I mean, I was afraid. I just started thinking about dying. And I started thinking about that now. I mean, I think about things in the head. You know, and now here you are at this point in your life. Man, without Jesus Christ, without eternal life, and you start thinking, Larry, about being in the fourth quarter, huh? You know, the most of the game is over with, right? Unless we're going to go overtime, you know, most of the game is done. That'd be a dreadful experience. I don't know how people go through life and start facing death without Jesus Christ. But see, now, listen, you know, I like that song, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die. You know, we kind of fit in that category, probably. But, you know, if your life's, you know, healthy and not in pain. But, yeah, you know what? We like to hang around here as long as we can, but we got eternal life. I started thinking about Elijah in that chariot of fire coming down. And if I got to go, that's the way to go right there. Just come on down. We'll ride on out of here. And you know what? It may picture, sometimes people preach it that way, pictures the Lord coming back for his saints. He's going to come back and get us one day in a moment and twinkling of an eye. I think that's even faster than a chariot. You know? I mean, you're there, right? But, man, I don't know how people face, I don't know how they face life without Jesus Christ. How do you face death without Jesus Christ? Man, just knowing that you're going to die. And listen, for you young people, I got news for you. You're going to be old and crippled up like the rest of us before you know it. Huh? You know what? You know how long I was talking about when I was a little boy and them little Christmases, man, when I still thought Santa Claus was coming, man, and he was going to hit that, and all that was going on. You know how long ago that seems to me? Yesterday. Just yesterday. It was just the other day. Man, I can picture it just plain as day, Christmas time. Me and Bo Barber, we got bikes. Bo knew that I was getting a bike. Got them on the spider bikes. I had a Schwinn, man. It was metallic purple. Had the little half chrome fender and the fender in front, slick tire on the back, banana seat. Got the high rise thing. I didn't know. He wanted one. He was one of them digging around, finding out what he got for Christmas ahead of time. Huh? Yeah, he knew. And he was in my house and he was kind of going, I said, well, my dad had been real adamant like a few months before. You ain't getting another bike. You ain't had enough bikes. You ain't getting another bike. I didn't think. I said, so Bo was down there and he was kind of grinning. Well, I don't know. My dad's going, Bo, I'm going to kill you. Christmas morning, buddy, we got our bikes. I went, next thing, 7:30, Bo, he's hot riding down the street on his popping wheelies, crashes his brand new bike, scuffed up the handlebars where they turned, gets to my house, they're already scratched. I laughed then, too. Got a picture of us, me and him, sitting on our bikes out the den door. We were sitting on there looking, got our bogging caps on, our sweatshirts on. We were sitting out there on our bikes Christmas morning, 7:30 Christmas morning, we're out there on the bikes. Seems like yesterday, man. I got on that thing, hopped off down the sidewalk, woo, away we went. That's how fast it comes. I don't know, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. I'm glad he is. Think about this. Our faith is in a person, Jesus Christ. It's not in a doctrine. It's not in a program. It's not in a philosophy. It's not in a principle. It's a living, unchanging person. Don't think of Jesus Christ only as yesterday, a historical Jesus. He's today. Right now, we can really look about him today. You know, because I think sometimes Christians, you know what we do? We think about him in the past tense, and we think about him in the future tense. You know, because, we know the Lord's coming back. Yeah, the Lord's coming back, and we read Revelation. Man, boy, we're going to be there, and we're going to come back with his army, and we're going to be up there on our chargers, capes flapping in the wind. We know all that. We look at the future Christ. We know there's a heaven. We got a mansion. We sing about it, right? We know about that, and we look back at the birth of Jesus and when he walked as a man in Galilee and all that. So I think really a lot of times in Christianity, we think more about the yesterday Jesus and the tomorrow Jesus, but we don't think as much about him now. He's here. I wasn't too convincing with everybody that, you know, that Jesus is in our midst, and when two or three are gathered in my name, we got the same crowd we usually have on Sunday night. The other people said, wow, Jesus is going to be down at Valley View. We better get down there, right? They weren't convinced, was it? Were they about that? Huh? Yeah. Think about him today. He's a living person. It's not just a spirit. He's a living person. He's here tonight, dwelling in our hearts as well. It's only as we know him in forgiveness and fellowship, as we share with him in sacrifice and suffering and service, that we become like him and can lead others to him. Our business is to know him and to make him known, and anything less is useless. Amen. Let's all stand with their heads bowed.